welcome BC WrestlePod fam and all of our new joiners here to The Bro, the Biconics Review of Honor, as we here at the Biconics Wrestling Podcast go over Ring of Honor episode 55 on Honor Club tonight. We are so excited to get back to this. I know all of us were in the mood to see ROH last night, and of course, 2 hours later instead of 45 minutes, we had given our lives back to this. But before we get on with that right now, I want to say thank you and welcome to Mikey, our lovely ones and twos person, our El Jefe here. Andrew, you're back. We love you. We're glad to have you here. Jesse, glad to see you as well. So happy to have you from the haunted forest that is your house. And of course, I'm JVL. I'm here with you as well. The entire crew is together. As I said, little housekeeping up top. First off, if you are one of the BC WrestlePod fam, welcome back. We are so excited to have you here with us, and we're hoping that you've done all the things we've asked you to in the past. If you're new and the Lovecraftian algorithm has sent you here through some weird portal in Necronomicon, we are really happy to have you here. You're safe. Take a break. Join us here. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that alert bell to keep away all the monsters, because it'll tell you when all of our programming goes up. We have something every day of the week, and it's a lot of fun. You can also follow us on the social media at BC WrestlePod, or you can just go on Twitch or on our Patreon to see some live reactions and other things there and support us in that way. We really would appreciate that, and comment on the videos as well. But if that's too much for you, if you're old fashioned like we are, you want some one-on-one interaction, some just touchy feely all over the mat, the WrestlePod boys are going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon May 18th and 19th, 2024, tabling in there. So come over, ask for consent, and I'm pretty sure most of us will give you a little digital high five in person. But I think I've covered everything there. Is there anything else we need to go over? No? Then, gentlemen, put your hands in. Observe the code of honor as we jump into The Bro. All right, we started off with Ian and Caprice welcoming us to this episode, which means we didn't go right into a match or anything else, which is great, but then we started off with a bang, the quarterfinals of the women's tag team title tournament, TV title tournament. We had Billy Starks taking on Diamante, and gentlemen, this was my match of the night. Sorry, this started off with a bang. Tell me all about it.
Match of the night, clearly. I liked that they started that off early. I love that Billy's back in her Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas inspired gear. Was anyone else scared to death with that corner overhead throw that they went for? It looked like Billy was like, oh, we're going to do this. I'm too close to the ring post. If I do that, I'm going to hurt my leg. So let me smash my face into the mat instead. I was scared to death for them. I'm glad they were able to finish the match. They seemed okay. But this was a wonderful match, a great way to start. We had a beautiful head scissors into a Russian leg sweep I wasn't expecting. Billy really got dominated for the first 5 minutes of this match. Diamante was just taking it to her, which was rare to see for a Billy Starks match. And it was kind of cool to see her fight back from being in that hole.
She sold Diamante's offense really well on this one. Yeah. She was definitely in jeopardy.
Yeah. I really liked the Mr. Fuji reference that Rick Abani had pulled. I was like, that was a deep pull. We like that. That's good. That's for us high level wrestling nerds that we all are. I thought Billy may have been actually knocked out after the Chaos Theory just because of how she landed. Overall, this was a brutal, hard hitting match. I thought it was amazing. Clearly my match of the night.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, there were two spots that kind of worried me about Billy because they came pretty close. It was that exploder into the corner that didn't really explode the way it was supposed to. And then
it was a dud. Yep.
Yeah. And then the Rana she hit off the stairs outside, because she hit the ground before a Diamante ever did her rotation. And so, like, I was waiting for her to just be kind of out of it the rest of the time, but she seemed to recover really well. And I agree, the Diamante looked really strong in this, especially against Billy, who's looked really strong, really since teaming up with Athena. And then having her battle back from that made her look like she had a lot of extra fortitude going into the coming out of this match. This is one of my, if not my favorite match of this tournament so far, and I'm happy that they gave Diamante this chance to really show it off in a loss against Billy Starks.
No, I'm just kidding. I am in agreement. This is my match of the night as well. honestly, between this one and then, in a weird way, Mercedes and Abaddon was also like in contention for it too. I might be biased because I love women's wrestling and Ring of Honor, but this was fantastic. I think what probably puts this one above everything else is the fact that there was partial a little bit where Mama Laguilla was watching it with me, and she watched some of it, and she's like, damn! I was like, that's my that and get that on I got her right to there. Watch, we're good. This was fantastic.
Can we get her to say that, and that will be like our bleep now from now on, please. Is Mama Laguilla saying that? And can we get her to join us for a live watch-along one time?
She might make an appearance for a couple of seconds, but I don't think...
Honor?
Maybe... Speaking of what, she's in the background.
Let's there. Bring her in. Let's ask her. Put her on the spot. That's always helpful.
Well, maybe a little bit later.
Oh. It's okay. Yeah, we'll leave it alone. So, Mikey, match of the night. You were definitely on board with everything going on here.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I love that Billy won, but I also love that Diamante gave her run for her money too, which was fantastic. And it was great. But this was a fantastic match. Billy Starks and Diamante both brought it. And this was given a lot of time. I looked at my clock when it was over. I was like, this is like 20, 25 minutes.
That was a main event match. And it was a main event match.
We'll get to time later.
Oh, yes. It was not on the side of other things. But we go from match of the night, taking it there, showing what women's wrestling can do. And then the crowd went mild. Because we had Aaron Solo taking on Big Shoddy Lee Johnson in the second spot, and more of the same stuff we've gotten every week. Athletically brilliant, nothing else.
Aaron Solo's handshake spot was very funny, doing the disingenuous handshakes, and he should have won after his tornado kick, and that would have made the match be like, oh wait, Lee Johnson didn't automatically win here. That would have been at least something to watch. Aside from that, I'm tired of wasting breath on this subject.
This was a match of two people that I just have no investment in, and it needed to be an amazing match in the ring for me to be moved by this match. Yes, they were all clean, they are athletic, but there wasn't anything that was just super mind-blowing about this. I feel like we might as well have these two tag team and do something that way, because neither of them seem to be doing more than treading water, which is crazy because other than just losing to Lee Johnson now, they seem to be winning, especially Lee Johnson's on this crazy win streak. It wasn't a bad match, but I just don't know where we're going from this for either of these two.
I need to counter one of your points, Andrew. I was moved in this match. I was moved to get up and try and have it go instead of regular speed, two times speed to get through it faster, because I knew it was going to happen.
As soon as I knew it was this match coming up next, that's already what I had done. So
nice. The wonders are streaming. Mikey, how'd you feel about it?
Yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've said this last week, and I'm going to continue to say it, is the in-ring ability is great. Like, I like watching the athleticism, but there's got to be more substance to this because Lee Johnson is playing in the kiddie pool. I need him to throw himself into the deep end and start going there, because if not, being hated is better than being boring in professional wrestling. And that's my biggest issue with Lee. The athleticism is great. He's a great athlete. It does not make him a great wrestler, because wrestler, you need to combine athleticism and charisma, and he is lacking in the charisma department. I also want to clarify that, I do not want to see Lee fail, but I need them in the back to do something, because he needs first aid, like, in the charisma department, because they need to resuscitate this man, because if not, they are going to... He's going to crash and burn, and his career is going to go nowhere because he's so boring to watch, which is really sad.
They need to implement the Dean Malenko protocol. Do something quick. Well, we move on from that to, you know, a match that we were worried. I know in the text we were worried about whether it was going to be worthwhile or not, because it's one of the matches we've kind of come to not like as much in ROH with these four-corner survival matches. But we had
Let me correct you on that one.
Go ahead.
Men's four corners are boring as hell. It's a women's four corner, which I tend to like more better. And when I saw the four that we were getting, I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Indeed, because we had Kira Hogan, Lady Frost, Robin Renegade, your fave, Jesse, and Layla Hirsch. All great workers, all that have been improving over the last year. And this was a barn burner. They were all over each other. Sorry, I left it open. Jesse, Andrew, like, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, I have to say one thing I noticed at the top of this was Robin looked huge. And part of it's because everyone else in the ring was like maybe 5 foot. So she looked huge in this compared to the rest of them. I liked Layla Hirsch's moment of appreciating Kiera Hogan's butt. That was entertaining. I felt like it was a fun match. It felt longer than some of our other previous Fatal 4-Way matches. I felt for Jesse in this match because there was a moment at the end when I thought Robin Renegade was actually going to win this match. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Cool. Finally, give one of the Renegades something, especially since she's been our solo Renegade for, I mean, it's been months now, it feels like. I did appreciate commentary's addition to this match, talking about how now that we have the TV title tournament going on, we've got obviously our most represented Ring of Honor title being the women's world title, that matches like this are even more important now because it's with a tournament, everyone that's outside of the tournament now is like trying to set up their placement in the rankings. So I appreciate that they tried to make this match feel more important than just, well, we want to have more of our roster on the card, so let's throw them in a quick four-corner match that really doesn't apply to anything. I hope we get to see more of all four of these women. I hope we get to see them in more singles competitions. But I agree. I think they all did a really good job throughout this match, and it was a good match.
I guess I'll go next. Normally, I'm very wary. Like I said, when I saw the four women who were involved, but prior to this, I was like, I love that Ian and Caprice kind of called it out too. It's like, we saw one 2 weeks ago. I was like, you know what, you two, you are absolutely right. I'm like, we're every other week seems to be a four corners. But then when I saw on the social medias that we were getting one with four women that I really like, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna let the talent speak, and then we're gonna go from there. I thoroughly enjoyed this match for what it was. I was like, this is the loser's bracket, kind of. of the ROH Women's Television Tournament. But shout out to Lady Frost, too, who has been making pop-up appearances and met all over Mexico within the last couple of weeks, which was super fantastic. I need her and Taya Valkyrie to have a match. That's what I really want to see in my life.
It's coming. It's coming. We know it's coming.
I thought this four corners was fantastic. I love it. And you know what? In my spirit, it felt right that Kiera Hogan won. I like Kiera. I'm happy to see Ring of Honor kind of prop her up and sense her pretty much a street fight match against Athena. She has kind of been a prominent figure in this women's division, which has been really nice to see. It wasn't a one and done, and now she's just jobbing out to everybody.
Yeah, she's finally being used too, which it's been a little while since she was used regularly, so it's nice to see her back on our screens. Jesse?
Lady Frost's tornado kick went right over Layla Hirsch's head, and Layla didn't even have to duck. That was hilarious. I was not a fan of the ending as a Robin Renegade fan, so I'm trying to curtail that slightly and not be too biased. However, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This match was 5 minutes.
Was it only 5 minutes?
I clocked it. It was five minutes. It was like 4 minutes and 59 seconds. I'll give him the second. It was 5 minutes.
Wow.
I just want to make sure for context, everyone knows that while we go on to the other matches of the night.
Yeah. No, it felt longer than 5 minutes, which I think for me, it felt like they got in a lot of action if it was only 5 minutes.
And that's just a testament to them for what they could get done in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
But I was not happy with the time that was allotted for this.
Can we imagine what they could have done with even double that or like half that more amount? Like that, the story that could have been told. But you're very right on that, Jesse. It is a crying shame that the talent, while not being wasted because of what we got, the time wasn't enough to really showcase. Because we then cut backstage to have the Mama's Boys cut a promo about their wrestling the best friends and Maria encouraging them to take advantage of the situation. And yay. I don't know, guys. I don't know what to say about this.
It wasn't a bad promo. It doesn't mean it was necessarily good. I feel like they have completely lost the plot with the whole mask thing with Serpentico. It feels like that's a prop that's been forgotten about. Which, Mikey, I'm sure you can give us more information as to why that is so much more, and it's shameful how they're treating this.
All right, so here's the scoop, right? I don't have any. I'm just kidding.
You're so full of it.
I haven't seen anything as to why the Mama's Boys necessarily haven't been on Ring of Honor television as of late. Only thing I could probably think about is because just they did it. I do know that the last couple of Ring of Honor tapings, there has been a plethora, not just visa issues, hurting the entirety of the AEW cinematic universe across all their brands too. But also there has been some really weirdness in terms of a lot of people have been booked for a lot of independent shows as well outside of Ring of Honor. And a lot of people are trying to hunker down and get all these people out before the big upcoming weekend in a couple of weeks by another company, because that's when all the promotions do like their big ones. You're getting Supercard of Honor the night before. No, anyway, but and then on top of that too, a lot of it's really weird. It's either a lot of independent, Effie's getting a bunch of these people too, which shout out to Effie and his big gay brunch. We love it.
We love
but
that.
More so too, GCW has also been racking up a lot of folks too, which has been very interesting. Also, breaking news here, because I saw it earlier before we got on too, Bloodsport is coming back again this year, and Shayna Baszler is going to be a part of it, which is really nuts to watch.
Yeah,
that is, but I kind of agree with Jesse a little bit. I feel that we lost the plot a little bit of what was supposed to be Spanish Announce Project versus the Mama's Boys. But I think because of the inconsistency between seeing all four of these individuals within the same span of an episode has been different, that we've kind of slowly been losing where we're going. I mean, for goodness sakes, we got Angelico randomly on Collision last week out of nowhere, which yeah. Him and Mystico had actually a really baller match. But I feel that that should have been in Ring of Honor because the crowd was kind of dead and it made me mad because it was actually a pretty decent match. I'm still invested in the Mama's Boys. I just need them to consistently be on Ring of Honor television. And hopefully with things gearing up for Supercard of Honor, we are going to get more of a bunch of these folks now that we're getting into 3 weeks to go until, you know, one of the biggest Ring of Honor pay-per-views of the year to kick us off with a bang, because this is the first pay-per-view of 2024 for this company.
Exactly. Andrew?
Yeah, so a couple of things that I noticed. I feel like Cole Carter got a little bigger. Like, when he came up, I feel like he had put on some mass because he looked significantly bigger compared to Griff Garrison. The other thing is, Carter and Garrison were about at the level where they normally are, but I'm kind of intrigued by this change that's happening with Maria. She's becoming kind of more diabolical as well as a little more desperate. And I think we saw more of that in the match later on, which I've got some feelings about that when we get to it. But I think with them not being on last week and trying to do the thing with Maria and SAP didn't work as well as when the previous times when we had all of them on together. And then this week when we just saw the Mama's Boys, there is a disconnect. I'm hoping that with the way things played out later on in the night, we'll get more of that connection going forward, maybe leading to something either leading into Supercard of Honor or at Supercard of Honor. I don't know where, but I can see where they're going, and it feels like they had a couple of backpedals or a couple of slips that now we're kind of recovering. So I'm still interested to see where we're going to go with this group.
It's going to be interesting to see how they handle them, because you're right. There's going to be there's a step that needs to be taken in order to move this forward. So hopefully we can see that soon. We jump from that, though, back into the ring as we get our reigning, defending, amazing ROH reigning champion, Athena, having a proving ground match against Aisha. And we knew what this was going to be. We knew how this is going to turn out, you know, for the most part. It was still a bit more competitive than, you know, any other proving ground matches are with any other champions, because Athena does that.
Wait, there's other champions on the show?
Well, yeah. Okay. There obviously is.
Yeah, they're having a tournament to crown the second one for Ring of Honor.
Oh, right. Okay.
Remember, it's not someone yet, but the champion was on the show tonight at some point. So we have that happen. Any thoughts on the match itself before we get to the actual thing that made this the big segment?
I have two. First off, I like that Rick Abani had called it must-see violence instead of must-see television. And I think the most damaging move in Athena's arsenal through the entire night, did anybody see the side eye that she gave Aisha when Aisha was doing her entrance? Oh my God, that could have... That was like, that hurt worse than any of the moves she did.
Melts ice just with that. It's crazy.
So I've said this before. I love the concept of proving ground matches. I hate the practice. Because, like, can we at least pretend like this is going to go somewhere and stop having random performers go against these champions that we know are not going to get title shots? Like, at least get someone. You have plenty of other talent who was not on that, you know, was not featured tonight, that could have gone against Athena and given us the possibility of hoping that we could see another contender come out, especially leading into Supercard of Honor when she just beat the last top contender that seems like it would have been the person she faced. Or at least get local talent that has some recognition in more than just their area. You know, there's plenty of indie talent that is recognized across the indies, not just where they're from. I do appreciate what Aisha did. It made Athena look really strong, mostly because she was tossing Aisha around like crazy. That suplex swing she likes to do into the barricades is just brutal, and I love that she hits it. I love the submission at the end. And I love that Billy and Athena now have suddenly pulled out these submissions that are adding to new wrinkles to their games. But yeah, I mean, we all know that this match was basically just a setup for what happened afterwards.
I enjoyed it. I had fun. I knew what it was. And this is going to sound really bad, so I got to word this carefully.
Uh-oh.
Because I knew the result of where this was going, I still had a good time watching it, but not to say that this wasn't important, but for me personally, what came after was more important because I've been sitting on this secret for 2 weeks because I knew what was happening 2 weeks ago, and I was a good person, and I didn't tell anybody else, and so I'm happy that this was the secret that I knew 2 weeks ago, but then I was genuinely surprised later in the evening, too. I was just like, oh, so we're just dropping things. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
But match, but I was more excited with what happened afterwards.
Because what they're talking about is that Athena, after the match, goes back to her heelish ways that she's been doing more before the Nyla Rose instance, beating up the opponent, calling out Atlanta and really going after the hometown crowd here, kind of getting really in their faces and saying that she's done with these porcelain princesses. She needs more competition. And I know she's used that line before last year, so this is kind of her standard patter about it. But she wants some challenge. And who comes out to face her but Hikaru Shida? And we get the announcement that these two are going to be facing each other at Supercard of Honor. Blow my mind, folks. This is going to be one for the ages.
I am so excited about this. Since I've started watching AEW and got to see Hikaru Shida started watching her in Makai in Japan, I've been a huge fan of her. So when this came out, I mean, I was like just over the moon about this. And I would love if she could stay in Ring of Honor and wrestle there for a while so she can actually get used well. I feel like she's AEW's Asuka. And it's like the amount that she gets used is pretty good compared to a lot of other performers, but is so underneath where she should be used is a crime. I love this. I'm so pumped. I'm ready for this to be my match of the night for Supercard of Honor. And honestly, this should be the main event. I know it's not going to be with what we got later, but it should.
Well, now hang on, though. We never know, because I originally thought like that when we did Death Before Dishonor, and then they decided to put Willow and Athena as the main event for that pay-per-view. So I was just like, who knows? It might genuinely surprise us. I am hyped. I've been hyped for the last 2 weeks. I agree with Andrew that Hikaru is used comparatively well on AEW roster, but I'm hoping that she sticks around in Ring of Honor to wrestle, and to also, if I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to eat crow if I end up being wrong, I actually think I wouldn't mind having Hikaru dethrone Athena and have the two swap places for a little bit, where Hikaru holds down Ring of Honor, Athena goes wrecks AEW for a little bit, and then we can move on from there, because I think Athena is ready to start fighting.
Gentlemen, you have to excuse me for just one moment.
No.
Well, and also think about it this way: if that's the case, also Athena has shown in the other company, Asuka was the main thing that she never got to finish that run in NXT with. So now she's doing the same thing with Sheeta here. Can this be like what we didn't get in the other company? But I also love the comparison, because I'm looking at the booking that Athena's had so far. Are we seeing, if Sheeta doesn't beat her, is she just going to systematically keep facing former AEW women's champions and see if they all come down to ROH at that point?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Because if we think about the history of who has held that women's championship, you have Nyla, Riho, Hikaru, Tony, Britt. Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker,
Saraya.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's a whole crop of women, and even non-champions, like Thunder. Thunder too. Honestly, Thunder versus anyone is what I've been, you know, drooling at the mouth for, because she's been fighting on Collision, but she's been doing squash matches, and I'm ready for her to start having a few.
There's so much there, but I wonder if that's an actual booking choice. I don't know if that's what they're going for.
I would love if Athena's going to stay in Ring of Honor and stay the champion, I would love if they're fully embracing. I mean, her promo, she was not wrong. Obviously, it wasn't the kindest way to say it, but she's not wrong. I mean, she is the Ring of Honor world champion, and she's been holding that company both down and on her back since she's been holding that title. If they want to like support that and show how dominant of a wrestler she is in the women's division and just as a champion, period, having these former AEW world champions come in that she beats to hold that title is just a great way of elevating her reign while keeping her in Ring of Honor and keeping that spot. Like, I feel like that's a great way to elevate Ring of Honor and that title. I wish they would do it more with other titles too, but I would love a run like that. Just have her, just have all these other world champions, hell, even outside of AEW, have some from like New Japan or AAA or some other places come in
Yeah, that's what happened at Supercard of Honor last year. Athena faced one of Stardom's like talent too. That was a phenomenal match as well.
There we are. Jesse, your thoughts on this?
I'm very excited for the match. I thought the promo itself went too long for me. I started to get bored by it. But aside from that, I'm very, very excited at the promise that this match is.
It's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait to see how those two tear the house down. But we move on from there to a trios match as we're coming up here with Action Andretti and Top Flight against the Iron Savages and Jack Jameson. I don't know if Jack Jameson's gotten any better. That's what my thought on that is. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay, no. we're gonna put Jack Jameson to the side for a little bit. I had to pause because I was crying of laughter of how stupid the opening bit for this whole thing was.
Oh, God, that was so dumb.
So I will say, the first half of it was funny, hearing the audience, you know, chant Titty City, which was hysterical in itself. But then when we got to the chug off, I was just like, all right, we jumped the shark. We lost the plot. A step too far. Action Andretti, we're not getting this over. Let it go, sir. Let it go.
Ugh.
I was so like floored by that for a second. I was like, what the hell is going on? It just made me completely lose all sense of what I was doing. So that was a weird spot. Action actually had to say the promo twice because he messed up the first time. And instead of just keeping it going and assuming, you know, just play with it, he's like, let me restart, which is, a psycho sit. Are we live? Call back there. The new glittery Savage gear is amazing. I love that. If you guys checked out the new gear, that was awesome. The Samoan driver and bonsai drop simultaneously from John, what's his name? Bronson?
Yeah, Bronson and BK. Yeah. Yeah.
Was amazing. But I got completely lost in taking out of it when Rick Abani said Jack Jameson's their ace in the hole. At that point, when Rick Abani said that, I was like, why are you lying to me? And I got completely removed from the match. And I was like, okay, well, hopefully this ends soon. Which sucks because I love the Iron Savages.
The match wasn't flawless, but it was very high intensity and high speed. You know, and that came a lot when it was the Iron Savages and then their opponents. There were many times, like that one spot, all three of, we'll just call them all Top Flight together, went for, an over the top to the Iron Savages outside. And I think it was Dante had to like wait because Jack Jameson was too far out of position. So we had to wait for him to come back in. So we had the two first splashes and then we had a third splash that came afterwards. There were a couple other spots like that where it was just like, had to wait for him to get back into position. And maybe it's because they were wrestling another team that was so fast and so high speed that he just couldn't keep up against them like he can kind of against other bigger wrestlers because it's not as fast paced, so his lack of experience didn't hinder him as much. I do have to say Darius got thick, like not in a bad way. He got like, I mean, seeing him next to his brother, I was like, dang, like you put on like some muscle and weight and stuff like that too. But
Johnny, you look like you're doing the Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yes, the show is back.
just a show for it back here.
I actually ripped the shirt doing that.
I won't go to the Tommy Boy quote, but
Richard.
I do wonder if what we're getting with this, because especially with Top Flight winning, I wonder if we're trying to set up some interest in the six-man division so we can try and potentially build who's going to randomly face the six-man champions. Because I feel like that's what we're doing with Ring of Honor right now is, all right, well, quick, we got to come up with some storylines or just like pick some people and come up with justifications for why they can face the champions who are never here. They've made good choices with the other two that we've just randomly seen. I would love to see some actual story development across the board, but I feel like maybe that's what we were trying to get with this of showing like, okay, hey, like there's still that division there because they dropped a couple things about trios wrestling during this match.
Certainly a possibility.
I didn't hate the match. I think I would have enjoyed it more if it was just Darius and Dante versus, you know, just the Iron Savages minus the Jack Jameson. And you could have still had him out there and Action as like the hype man for their respective teams. Nothing against Action, but I'm more of a Top Flight fan than I am an Action Andretti fan, especially since he adopted this really dumb but kind of hilarious water bottle thing, which I don't know where it came from.
The hydration situation.
It was funny the first time and it overstayed its welcome.
No, it wasn't.
To me, it was. I enjoyed it. It was hilariously stupid. And I
love
it.
It should have been a one-off line like My Hole. And we don't need to do it every single week. It's awful.
I was getting to that point, but thank you for bringing it up for me. It's funny that you mentioned the Trios Championships because, honestly, I don't know what we're doing with the Trios division in ROH. I don't even know what we're doing with the Tag Team division because I don't know who's been following Collision, but apparently for the AEW tag title situation, The infantry is an entrant in said tournament, and they have, like, foretold that they're going to get squashed by FTR because they had a promo off with FTR, which I... Listen, I love the infantry. I thought the promo itself was great. The infantry did awesome going up against FTR. It just hurts my heart knowing that FTR is going to obliterate them in this tournament, which is stupid. So I'm wondering, I wonder if we're swapping teams because you have ROH teams and AEW for this tournament, and then you're sending Darius and Dante and some AEW folks down to Ring of Honor. I'm like, what kind of deal are we working on backstage? What is happening right now? I didn't hate this match. I hated the beginning bit of it, which was stupid. The match itself was great. If I put my hand over the screen and cover Jack Jamieson and pretend he wasn't there.
You still hear him, though. Like, you can't, like, unhear him.
And he's a good mouthpiece. But that sometimes people, all they're good for is running their mouth. Jack Jamieson is good at running his mouth. He should stay running his mouth and do nothing else until he improves better in the ring and becomes more, has more ring awareness. Just putting it out there.
Just accept that he's now the road dog of ROH. But, yeah.
You brought up something about team swappings and all that kind of stuff. I'll get to that at the main event because that does lead me to some big concerns for Supercard of Honor.
Oh, 100% there. But we move on from this match to, again, you talk about being lied to, Jesse, in the last match where you lied that Jack Jamieson's the ace in the hole. We got lied on this one as Lee Johnson says he is here to take over ROH. This just, no. Not at all. The crowd goes, I feel for you, Lexi Mayer. Why were you there?
But don't you know it's the shoddy show?
No, I don't. It's never been clear to me.
I think they got a vowel wrong in shoddy show.
Or they changed the T's to D's. I think we're moving on from this. No one else wants to talk about it. Let's just leave it alone. Because we're going to jump into... Wait a minute. I thought that Anthony Henry broke his jaw. But no, this was pre-recorded. The Workhorseman took on Nick Camarado and Jacoby.
Camarado, these are pre-recorded?
Yes, these are pre-recorded. Oh, I know.
Next, you're going to tell me.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that sometimes they're not even in the same spaces for the whole show.
Andrew, I don't want to ruin this for you. Serpentico and John Cruz are the same person.
How dare you?
I know. But back to this match, I was excited to see Nick Camarado back on my TV screens. I thought he had been let go from AEW or ROH, but he's there. But again, this was recorded earlier, so maybe this has gone through since. I don't know. But this was, it was a match. It was here. I wasn't excited, but it wasn't bad.
It was a squash match. I mean, essentially, it was to make the Workhorsemen look strong, and I thought they did look really good, especially because they mostly fought Nick Camarado, except for like two moments when Jacoby was in there. It is a bummer because it looks like this match was a way to kind of move up the Workhorsemen, and unfortunately, it seems now that we're just going to be down to Workhorseman.
Hey, but it's JD Drake. I mean, he's pretty damn good.
No, that's great. No, it's a bummer for him and for them as a tag team because, whatever about Anthony Henry on his own, as a tag team, they're still I think they're one of the top in Ring of Honor. I did think it was interesting at the end, the moments with Jacoby Watts and Nick Camarado, and it makes me wonder if they're going to do something with Jacoby Watts because he kind of had this, like, cult leader, priest kind of moment with Camarado.
He hasn't been signed yet, so we don't know, but that is a possibility. Watch out, the Righteous.
Well, I was actually going to bring that up. If Jacoby does get signed and we can see more of what he can do in the ring, I'm all here for Jacoby's cult faction versus the Righteous at some point.
Or he becomes a disciple of, Dutch.
Yeah, exactly. I am in agreement with you, John. I'm happy to see Nick Camarado back on Ring of Honor television or wrestling television at any point at this point. The whole disbandment of Cody and then QT leaving and then just the downfall that everything that kind of came out of that. So Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado are kind of like the byproduct of a family dynamic that got split. But from that split, we got Johnny TV away from there, and now him and Taya are doing the best thing possible in Ring of Honor, which is fantastic. Actually, the match itself, it served its purpose to get the workhorsemen over. It sucks that, you know, we learned that Anthony Henry is going to be out for who knows how long because of a broken jaw, which means any tag team plans for the workhorsemen. It sucks. I know we make fun of Anthony Henry saying he's like really bland. He's boring, more boring than watching paint dry, but nobody wishes injury upon anyone. And it sucks for him, and it sucks for JD Drake too, because tag team plans are going to be put on hold until then. Though if we want to push JD as a single star in the meantime, I am all here for it. I did like what we got at the end with Jacoby and Nick, because if that's going to be a consistent thing, I think that would be fantastic. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
I thought this match was terrible. Anthony Henry's hair still looks like moss. Nick Camarado deserves better. Yeah, that's it. This was not a good match. Even as a squash match, this was moving on.
We'll move from there. And look, over there, it's another squash match because we have Lance Archer destroying Darian Bengston. Two squashes in a row. We're trying to get Lance Archer to still look strong. He hasn't done anything since he's been in ROH. I don't know what we're doing here. Do you guys know?
Yes.
Snake Roberts got involved and punched a person. That was fun.
Best part of the match.
That's about it.
If that's the best part of the match, that's not a good sign.
No.
No. Wait, you're burying the lead. Let me get there, okay? The best part of the match was clearly Jake's jacket. That thing was killer. I want that for me. Aside from that, I'm good. There's really nothing redeeming of the match itself.
The match itself is not necessarily great. I know that Lance Archer is the murder hawk, but I feel that the murder portion has been missing from Lance for the longest time.
It's just the hawk.
It's just the hawk, Lance Archer. And if I'm going to be completely honest, I think when he concussed himself has kind of taken a lot of the momentum away from him, and he has never really recovered from that since. And on top of that, too, for some reason, I don't know if it's just the in-ring talent in the AEW Cinematic Universe, but I've seen Lance have other matches and other promotions that are a lot better. Shout out to TNA, by the way. Listen, the Multiverse of Madness matches have actually been really good. His match at Multiverse of Madness is great, but...
But yeah, not here.
I wanted more.
I've never been a huge Lance Archer fan or Lance Hoyt when he was that, and you know, all the other variations. And it's like Wardlow and a lot of these other performers where it's like, I don't want to see people just come out and squash everybody. Like, especially when the people that you're doing it to are like random local talent. Like, it's not entertaining. We just came out of one of those where we at least knew the other two people, so it gave something to it. My only notes for this was squash. It like there wasn't even a match, and so this kind of played into my criticism for the whole night. Was there were like three or four matches that we could have not had, and we could have given more time to the women's four corners match. We could have given more time and development to other things, or just had a shorter show. I have not liked anything they're doing with him.
It's almost like, you know, because these are pre-recorded, we could have stuck them on last week's show, which was 45 minutes. I mean, it wouldn't have made it better, but you wouldn't have then clogged this one up with it. It's kind of strange. But you know what, though? I'm going to take a second here, breathe, because my favorite soap opera is coming on. As we have Taya Valkyrie cutting her promo about how she's taking care of the boys, and Dalton wants them back, and he doesn't deserve them. Oh, I have missed this. Oh, I'm so happy it's here.
This was the best part of the night. It wasn't match of the night because it wasn't a match, but for me, this is the best part of the night. He wasn't even wearing shoes.
This was like watching divorced parents fight over the custody of children, and like Taya is like the wife that got all the money. She's like got the kids. She took everything from him, and he's just losing his world. And all he wants is to get his kids back. And all he gets to hear about is how she has them. The new dad is like teaching them his ways. He's gonna make men out of these boys. It was so good, and these two together are so entertaining.
One was almost throwaway line, and almost didn't get picked up, is when Dalton is sniffing Taya, saying, "I can smell them on you." And then Lexi at the end, like, visibly about to cry. That it sold it for me. It was so well done.
Give me my comedy wrestling. Give me this every day. Mikey, yeah, you are grinning ear to ear on this.
I thought it's fantastic. You know, this whole entire thing that we're doing with the TVs and Dalton is one of my favorite things. And it will be a crime against humanity, all things good, and the professional wrestling gods themselves if we don't get a match at Supercard of Honor involving this whole storyline. But more importantly, one of my favorite things is what makes this even better is if you've been paying attention to the social media, Taya and Johnny TV have been photoshopping the boys in like Christmas photos and family portraits. I think is the best thing possible. Whoever, if it is Taya and Johnny or whoever is helping them do all these social medias and photoshopping these things, is so fantastic.
You're doing a great job.
So good. I love you, my comedy wrestling. This is probably my favorite. As sad as it was to see the boys get taken away, I still think this is probably my favorite thing. And, you know, I want to highlight what Jesse said because I picked this up too, and he brings up a really good point. Lexi being visibly trying to not cry on camera proves why that Lexi and Renee are probably my favorite backstage correspondents ever in any wrestling promotion because she is so involved in these storylines. Which I really love because Athena's like, you need to stop hanging out with Dalton Castle. And here she is about to cry for the man. Like, it's so good.
You can't hold her back. The emotion is there.
So good.
Which we carried, at least I carried that sadness into the next match. Yes, a very talented wrestler won. Yes, the match was wonderful and could have been match of the night, except for the first match. We had Mercedes Martinez taking on Abaddon in the women's television title tournament quarterfinal, and my performer Abaddon, he sadly went down. Kill ya.
First off, I loved Abaddon's new gear. The way they use the fishnet on the face, it almost gave this like tearing feature to their face, and it really accentuated the contacts in the eyes and everything, and the like strained like the thinning doll hair look. Awesome. This match was so brutal. Like, the way these two paired up, like, I was excited about this match, but I did not even have these expectations for this because the two different styles clashed against each other so well. I did think Abaddon was going to win. Yeah. You know, I when it happened, my response was a big, like, no! But at least it wasn't clean. So I kind of see what they're going with here. And like at the end, like the only thing I could think was like, Abaddon's going to kill you. Like watching the two of them leave afterwards. I'm excited because this feels like Mercedes is not going to make it to the finals with this title. And it's going to continue the story of Abaddon facing off against, you know, these new targets that they have. So I'm kind of excited where we're going to go with this because I also feel like it's another chance to tell another story with, you know, the women's divisions that doesn't have to revolve around the divisions and the titles.
Right. We have storylines. Storylines.
I really liked this match. I wasn't crazy about the schmoz ending. I don't think we needed it. But I'm going to reserve my judgment until I see if this leads into a feud, as Andrew was suggesting. And if it does, then I'm okay with it, because I actually really enjoyed this match. I'm not happy that Abaddon lost, but I am happy, you know, that there's more stories can come from it.
I'm going to slightly disagree with Jesse a little bit. I didn't mind the schmoz finish only because, I mean, if we don't get to see it, if we don't see a feud out of it, how do I put this? I have watched enough wrestling where there could be something, but then it hasn't that kind of panned out the way that it should or, you know, we wanted to. So I've become numb to it. But given the fact that it is Ring of Honor, they are probably the most consistent in building secondary storylines outside of titles in any of the promotions right now. That's not an opinion, that is a fact. This match was hella brutal. It was so brutal, which is what I was expecting. Abaddon style of wrestling, they hit hard as well. Mercedes, we know how hard she hits from the various iterations of Ring of Honor, AEW, NXT matches, even small Impact and TNA appearances too. Like, homegirl can go. What makes me really excited is how hard Billy and Mercedes are going to beat the crap out of each other. And I'm hoping that it's Billy and Queen in the finals, because that's also a lot of people hurting each other and hitting hard.
We kind of know what we're getting with that, because there was the tag team match between Athena and Billy and Diamante and Mercedes. So this is going to be running that back in a spectacular fashion. So our finals are stacked. It's going to be a great, great setup as we get to Supercard of Honor. I'm really excited about this. The women's division is just killing it in ROH. And then, sorry, guys. I think we have a thing playing from last week or the week before. Probably a rerun. We don't need to worry about it. It's just some four-corner survival match. It's Commander, AR Fox, Jack Cartwheel, and Slim J. No need to really go into this. It's kind of, you know, a rehash of what we've seen before.
Don't do that to these men. Don't do that.
I'm not
I will
wrong.
Say that, no, like, the concept of the four corners of the men's, yes. But honestly, I like all four of these men better than I did our last participants. We got a men's four-corner match like this.
Wasn't Jack Cartwheel on that one?
Well, I'm pretty sure, and Slim J and Commander.
Slim J. Yeah.
Yes,
AR Fox was the only one that wasn't in there.
Yes, but I am biased as hell, and I liked all four of these men. And I'm just happy to see AR Fox somewhat kind of out of the doghouse right now. Here's the thing. What he did to mess up the All In show was really bad on his part, but I feel that he's paid enough of his penance. But you know what? Nothing is more crueler than, you know, Tony Khan scorned. Was this like the most groundbreaking match? No. I mean, it's a four corners men's match. We've seen a lot of these. Did I still enjoy the hell out of it? Yes. Whether that's from my professional opinion or the fact that Mikey has found his zen this week and has just been at peace with every aspect of his life and is just looking at this week's wrestling through that lens, maybe. I enjoyed it for what it was. It wasn't anything groundbreaking, but I thought this was fantastic. Also, Slim J continues to impress me every time. I'm like, how's this man not like... Skywalker is still one of my favorite things.
I think the biggest thing I got out of this match is I want to see a Commander versus Jack Cartwheel match. The moments we got of the two of them, it was so fast and so all over the place, but so clean. I would love to see that, and I would have loved to have seen that in place of this Four Corners match. I will say, finally, someone was smart with the rules of the match, and Slim J just low blowing everybody was so smart. Yeah. He's like, what? You can't disqualify me, so I'm just going to take advantage of that. There were a lot of spots. That's what these four corners matches are. They're just lots of spots, and a lot of them are really good, minus the one scary Slim J getting caught on the ropes on the dive, which I was very worried for a moment there. It was a fun match in practice, I guess, but not like as something I want to see every single week. And I feel like all of these performers are so good. I would like to see something that focuses on them, because when we get these four corner matches, it seems like it's an exhibition match. It seems like it's just a showcase. It's not going to tie into anything bigger. And it really feels like, oh, we got to fill this quota. Or like, oh, we've already paid them to make X amount of appearances, so now we need to use them. And I feel like it's starting to do a disservice to the people that are in the match, because they are really good. And it's just making them seem like they're not going to go past a certain level.
No. Jesse?
I didn't like the match. I did not. I don't even write Slim J down anymore. I write down 2003. But it was the 2003 Dick Punch match. That's all it was. That's all I'm going to remember. And let me ask this to my captive and captured audience here. Do you think this match was twice as good as the women's four-way match?
No.
Because it got twice as much time.
Which is funny because the women's match felt like it was at least as long, because I feel like the quality of the interest in where these performers were going to go from the women's match was so much more than what we have going forward with these four male performers.
Yeah, it's...
This match felt longer because I just wanted it to be over.
Basically, as you were saying there, it was filler. It was a filler match that didn't need to be as long as it was. It should have been a lot shorter and taken somewhere else. And I would love to see Commander and Jack Cartwheel do a gymnasty match, not a gymnastics match.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Fun.
But we cut from there to... Wait, there's another champion of ROH sitting in a hotel room, and he's bringing up the fact that he really wants to give someone a shot at his title, someone who hasn't been on Ring of Honor TV as well. He's been on AEW TV, but Eddie Kingston wants to give Mark Briscoe a shot at Supercard of Honor, so we have a championship match with no build.
I will say that this was a cool call out for... putting a match with Eddie Kingston to wrestle at Supercard of Honor that we know we're not going to get a build for. Because even though we're coming up to Supercard of Honor, it doesn't look like they're going to bring any of these people back until Supercard of Honor. So at least you're going to bring in a classic Ring of Honor performer. And I'm really, really, really hoping that Mark Briscoe is going to win. So we're going to start seeing Eddie lose some of these titles so he can stop being, the belt collector of, this year, and focus on one thing and stop holding up everything else. On top of which, Mark Briscoe is a great person to hold that title to represent Ring of Honor, because he does have so much, history with Ring of Honor. Yeah. And it would be really nice to let Mark Briscoe get a good run where he gets to hold a title and represent Ring of Honor, because he's also, it's like they've been using him for the novelty in AEW, but not really giving him anything. And I think if we gave him this world title and let him have a really good run, it would be really good for him, and it would be great for the championship. So I'm hoping that this will kind of right the ship in that direction. I will be severely let down if Eddie Kingston walks out of Supercard of Honor as the champion.
Which is saying something for Eddie Kingston as a performer, because that's tough. But
I thought the promo was good. It did its job in getting at least something on the books for Supercard of Honor. My just complaint is, where's he been? I know where he's been, but if you only watch Ring of Honor, where's he been?
I...
This is Mikey's promo of the night, so he can disagree with me.
Right here. No, that's kidding.
Watch it. Watch it.
I didn't curse. I'm within the confines of the rules.
In response to that, as long as it's water-based and we can wash it off after.
And if you give me your consent, that's the only way I would do it. Anyways. There's nothing really new to be added to my thoughts with this, because everyone else has pretty much said what I was going to say anyways. My only caveat to this whole entire thing is I think Mark Briscoe needs to win this, not in the sense where his career is over if he doesn't, but given the fact, as Andrew stated, that AEW has been using the Briscoe brothers as a novelty, and then everything that they've done subsequent to the passing of Jay has been... I think there has been some good faith with that, but I agree it's been a novelty. I do agree. I wish there was more of a build here. However, I think that Eddie's basis for wanting to give Mark a match actually is okay with me, because given the fact, because in that promo, he also brought up that we were supposed to get Claudio and Mark. And I still firmly believe, had Mark not got injured, I think he was meant to take the title off of Claudio. I still think, because given everything that they were building to and what we were doing, I think Mark was supposed to be the one to take it off of Claudio. And I still firm hold that he's going to take it off Eddie, as well as another wrestler is going to take another title off of Eddie next week on Dynamite, because I think Eddie's going to start losing these titles very, very shortly. We're going to start on Wednesday, and then I think he's losing to Mark Briscoe at Super Card of Honor, because if Mark does not walk out as your Ring of Honor world champion, that is a missed opportunity, and I'm going to kind of be very upset. It's not even just an annoyance, it's more upset because you need to start pulling the trigger. I love Eddie Kingston. I love my King of the Bums. Like, I am a hardcore Eddie Kingston fan, but even I am very logical when it comes to this, that I think Mark should be the one to win. Give him a nice run, because he's never had a singles championship. He's always been synonymous with the Briscoe brothers, and now that he's, unfortunately, life has kind of forced him to be a singles wrestler, I think it's his time to show the men's division in Ring of Honor why his name is synonymous with the company that is Ring of Honor.
Bring the heart back to ROH. Here it comes. We end our night with the aforementioned match from the promo earlier in the night, as we have the best friends of Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta being accompanied by Chucky T, who is still injured, versus the Mama's Boys with Maria Kanellis Bennett. I don't know if this was meant to be our headlining match. I think this was a middle of the road match that we should have had in the middle of the card.
I love Trent. I love Orange Cassidy. I love Shenanigans. I feel that we could have, if I'm being the booker for this show, I would have actually swapped this main event, and I would have made Billy and Diamante the main event. This would have been a fun opener. This would have been a great opening match. And then you could have closed with giving the longest match of the night, Billy and Diamante, that main event slot. It's just like, that is my biggest critique. I thought this match was okay. I love stupidity in wrestling, so I love Spanish Announce Project and Best Friends just kind of chilling at the end of the match and just being weird and goofy. It was fantastic. As far as the match itself, I thought it was serviceable at best. I know we're trying to figure out what to do with Orange Cassidy now that he is post losing the international championship, and I love Orange Cassidy to death. I still think he's one of the top wrestlers, and I think he's fantastic, and he doesn't get enough credit. However, I feel that this match didn't deserve the main event spot, and you could have swapped this out with Billy and Diamante, and I actually would have thought the pacing of the show from top to bottom would have probably been a lot better. This was a fine match. I still enjoyed it, but I was kind of underwhelmed by a lot of it, and I don't know if it has to do with Griff and Cole not being as seasoned as Trent and Orange, and just the weirdness of the whole intersection of SAP into this whole story. I don't know. It's really weird.
I mean, I like a good seasoned Orange like anybody else, but come on.
I had a few takeaways from this match. Was I think the Mama Boys could become really solid heel tag team in Ring of Honor. You know, they're not going to be the same kind as, if you want to call them that, the Righteous, you know, and some of these other ones where they're going to be like the top dangerous heel team, but they could be the, you know, a really good heel team, especially with Maria. I thought some of the like delays and missteps by Carter actually fit into what they're kind of trying to build them as characters as well, because there were moments where Griff had to like tell him what to do and it made sense. And like there was a spot where Carter went for the 450, and Trent Beretta was basically in the middle of the ring, and even though Carter missed, he landed where Trent Beretta was, so he got some distance on that. So I was super impressed by that. I wasn't surprised by the result, but I don't necessarily agree with it. I mean, I get it in the, if you watch both promotions, why it makes sense, why the more recognizable names, more experienced people won. But I don't agree with it because it felt like very similar to having the thrown together tag team, though I know Orange is kind of by default a part of the Best Friends, and he generally replaces one of them when they're injured or doing something else.
Freebird rule, yeah.
Yeah, but we have a tag team who's trying to build a story in Ring of Honor going against this other tag team, and this tag team either A, came in and beat up this tag team just to put some names in Ring of Honor from AEW, or B, which I'm really concerned about that we're going to do with Supercard of Honor, is going, oh, well, we need to hype up Supercard of Honor, so let's just start bringing in, like, the more important people from AEW, because that's the bigger company, in to put some name value against our champions, when we have these people who have been working hard for months trying to support and be a part of AEW and build up these ranks, and then just to be like, okay, well, now we're going to bring in, you know, basically they're just, you know, bringing in the, you know, the, you know, the replacements for this big card. And the fact that we had this clash with SAP at the end of the match shows that, like, they're, that's the story we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on that, and this didn't feel like it gave anything to it.
Andrew, do you think this was more of a, like, a tune-up match for Orange and Trent being in the tag team big tournament in AEW? Like, they just sent them down to get a rep in? Or do you feel like this is anything else?
I mean, I feel like that could be a part of it, because... But again, that's the thing that frustrates me, is it's like, well, we want you to win, but we don't want you to beat any of our guys. So why don't you go down to this lower promotion and beat up some of their people so that way you can get a win? And we can also use your name to be like, look who showed up on Ring of Honor. They graced us with their presence. And it's unfortunate, because I don't have anything against Orange or Trent or the Best Friends or anything like that. They've even shown up occasionally in Ring of Honor, but I feel like we're basically, you know, crapping on the people who put in the work and who are loyal for short-term payoff. And it was a really good, it was a good match for what we got, especially considering the differences in experience. But I feel like up until the end, it did nothing to continue Ring of Honor stories.
How do you feel, Jesse?
The match was okay. This did not need to be on Ring of Honor. Just to echo everyone else's points, if it weren't for our lovely commentary team that we had, I'd have no idea what was going on in this match. I wrote, if not for commentary, and if you don't watch AEW, there's no context of why we're having this on this program. It didn't, to me, it didn't need to be here. And to Mikey's point, this was not your main event. This should not have been your main event. You're treating Orange Cassidy, who, I like Orange Cassidy, but he's not this, oh, if he's there, he's got to be the main event. That's not it. So I didn't like this match. I didn't like that it was on here. I don't think it needed to be here. The match itself was good. It was very athletic. But again, it did not need to be on this card.
No. So we come
to
the
end.
It
took time away from some other women's matches that it didn't need to do. And I'm sorry, I know that was a lengthy pregnant pause I had there. So go ahead. I'm finished now.
Well, Justin.
And another thing.
We have come to the end of this episode of ROH. So in 30 seconds or less, folks, I would love your empanada rating for this on the empanada scale. And then a little bit of a wrap up here. So we'll start with Mikey, go across the board. Mikey, what'd you rate ROH episode 55?
I give this week's episode a 7.5. There was a lot of things I liked, but some of the lowlights include some weird booking decisions, some delays in Ring of Honor storytelling, and to speak on Andrew's point too, it kind of sucks to see the people that we've grown to love on this roster not get their dues paid quite yet. Here's hoping that this was a one and done thing with a bunch of this, but I'm still excited for the build to Supercard of Honor. 7.5 for me this week.
Andrew?
I also gave it a 7.5. I thought we could have done without like 3 or 4 matches, and some of the structures of the matches could have been different. It just felt a tad bloated. Overall, though, some really good matches. We had some amazing matches, and I was excited, or at least intrigued, by the announcements we got for Supercard of Honor.
Jesse.
I struggled with this one. I struggled with this one a lot because I wanted to like it. I, unlike everyone here, I enjoy when it's longer because I feel like they get more, you know, more time, obviously, to put things in. I thought this was way better than last week's. But it could have been better. It wasn't awful. And to those making decisions on the timing of the matches, where they lie in the card, and all the things that come like that, the producers of each show, although it is your ravenous behavior that compels me to you, your unwillingness to comply is testing my patience. Stop disrespecting your women.
And I will follow those wise words from a wise man with my rating of a solid 6.75. A lot to love and saved by the women's matches on the show, but still could have done a lot better. We have come to the end, folks. Put your hands in. Code of Honor is to be observed. We have had such a lovely run here. Thank you to Mikey. Thank you to Andrew. Thank you to Jesse. And thank you, BC WrestlePod fam, and all our new fans out there. Remember to feed that algorithm because it needs blood sacrifices. But we appreciate you being here, sharing ROH with us, because this is the hidden gem of the wrestling world right now, as much as we rate it that way. And we are so excited to share it with you, because when you're here, you're Biconic. And we're all Biconic together. And we'll see you in the next video.
I love when they're able to pull off matches where the outcome makes all of them look strong.
Mikey's being given gifts on the air, folks, here, apparently. This is just a whole big thing.
Is that fan mail? I didn't get mine.
No, I didn't get mine either.
Sorry, it was unexpected, but I just got a gift for my mother.
That is
nice.
I'm wearing this for the TNA review. Sorry, boys. Apologies. This was not meant to happen. I didn't mean to derail us.
No, we've got our bloopers, so that works.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.